This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we're reviewing Unhinged for you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then. For this first mid-tier budgeted film released back into cinemas in some parts of the world as of July 30th here in our part of the world.
Now there's talk that this was the thing that brought everyone back to the cinemas in places where you could go back to a cinema.
Well, that's right, exactly, because this doesn't open until August 21st in the United States, so we've got a big preview here for you. Be very careful, no spoilers for this early section. If you are checking this one out, you are safe to do so. Should you bother to see Unhinged at the cinemas if and when you get that opportunity. Now, here's the details. It's directed by Derek Borte, who's a German filmmaker, written by Carl Ellsworth. Stars Russell Crowe as the man. Did you pick up? We didn't get a name for him.
I only did when I was looking for a review. Going, what's his name? Nothing. His name is nothing.
Karen Pistorius, Gabriel Bateman, Jimmy Simpson, and Austin P. McKenzie. It's only 93 minutes long. However, it felt shorter.
Oh, it's short.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a wonderful short movie. It's wonderfully short.
93 minutes. I reckon it's 83 minutes without credits.
Without credits? So
maybe more like 80 without opening and closing credits.
See, I can use a little bit of that because, you know, it's a short movie. Maybe you're nervous about being in the theater, so you get out as quick as you can.
I'm pretty sure 90 minutes, 120 minutes make no difference.
Yeah, it makes no difference
in terms of COVID. You know, but there you go. Okay, what's the budget, Wayne? We had a discussion walking out of the cinema.
I didn't check.
Good. So, Mike, I'm throwing this to you. What do you reckon this was made for?
Look, it's always more than you think. On the screen, I see about 20 million. 20 to 30 million.
And you're right, it's more than you think. I actually thought it was like maybe 15 to 20. It's 33 million.
33, yeah. Okay.
So how much that was Russie's paycheck? I'm not sure.
He's got 5 million out of that, I reckon.
Yeah, who knows? I guess we will never know. And thus far around the world, it's taken 530,000 at the box office.
Well, okay.
Hasn't opened in the States.
Yeah.
Don't believe it's opened in China as of yet. And yeah.
This isn't going to make it back.
It's very interesting, right? It's the litmus test, I think, for cinemas. But there's this great discussion at the moment among theatre chains is, if you delay releasing your films for a year, we won't be here.
Yep.
Every theatre chain will close. So you don't want to release them because they won't make enough money. But if you don't release them, there'll be nowhere to release them.
See, and there's the paradox. You and I were talking about this a little bit. But basically, with these hedge funds that actually go and finance the movies, the longer you don't release the movie, all the money that has been geared and actually put into that movie is gathering interest. Like, it's being charged interest on. So the longer away you get your payoff, the less money you make, literally, because it gets eaten up.
So with something like Furious 9 that instantly went pushed back a year or 13 months.
Yeah.
How did they do that then?
They're fucked. They're fucked. But basically, this depends on how much the studio put in versus the investors versus the hedge funds and stuff like that. If everyone's like, here you go, right? That at least money is not geared. It's not being borrowed from someone to pay for that. Or maybe in some cases it is. So subsequently, the only thing you're losing is time. But that's what investing is.
So if the studio put the money in, then it's not so bad.
Well, they still have to get to a fucking end of year result. And if they haven't got the money that they were expecting to get by the end of the year, they've got shit there. And then their stock goes down and then it goes to hell. No. Anyway.
Yeah,
long story.
It's a terrible, terrible situation, and this virus is not going anywhere anytime soon. So,
let's
put that to one side,
yes,
though. We want you to know. Well, we want to tell you whether or not you should see Unhinged. Wayne, what's it about?
Okay, so check it out. Right, there's this girl. Her name is Rachel. Right, and she's running late from work, where she has this altercation at a traffic light with a stranger, Russell Crowe, whose life has left him feeling powerless and invisible, and he's really having a problem, and you see so at the beginning of the movie. Anyway, they have words, okay? He's like, look, hey, sorry, I wasn't, you know, she basically honked at him, and she honked real hard, and he's like, whatever. And he said, look, I'm sorry about that. If you can just apologize back to me, we can press reset this whole thing. All good. She refuses to do so as she's pissed, frazzled, and shat off. And then he decides, well, I'm going to give you a fucking shitty day. And then he basically goes after her and everyone she loves, her whole life, and it gets deadly, and you never know how it's going to go. But that's what the movie is. It's a cat and mouse game.
Yeah, fair. That takes place over the course of one day.
It's
tight in that way. It's tight in terms of time. It doesn't stick around. It doesn't have a lot of nuance nor depth to it. But what did you think, Wayne, of Unhinged?
Okay, can we just do this first, okay? Everyone, before, it's always a slightly weird vibe when Paul and I watch a film together at the movies.
Which is the first time in a long, long time.
A long time, right? So we walk out knowing, giving each other maybe knowing glances. I sometimes try and read his face. He always reads mine. And
not true.
We actively don't talk about the film because we want the on-air review to be fresh.
Yes.
So, but there was one thing we decided we could talk about immediately. So Paul, let's now talk about the elephant on the screen. Okay, people, let's just get this out of the way, okay?
Yeah, we have to acknowledge it.
None of us can understand how fat Russell Crowe is now, okay? It's just... And look, rag on me for fat shaming. I'm a fat man myself. I'm not this
come
fat.
Come on.
All right, so look, check it out, right? If you haven't seen Russ in a while, and we haven't, it's now... He is Marlon Brandoing on a level
yes,
that
that was exactly the person
I was
thinking.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's gotten so large. His head is big, but his gut flares out. We got to the stage where I was looking at it going, wow, he really is big. And then I'm thinking to myself, now I know he's supposed to be an imposing figure.
Yeah.
Is he so big that that helps it or hinders it?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think in some ways it is distracting, but I think it helps the character. Because if he was a rake, and not that I think Russell Crowe's ever been rake thin, maybe back in the Romper Stomper days.
Yes, way back.
Yeah, but like in Gladiator, he's beefcake. Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a big, muscular guy.
But you
guy.
Could tell he was lean enough to move powerfully
yeah.
in Gladiator.
Right. So obviously that would be the ideal
yeah.
Russell Crowe in gladiator shape, sorry. Mm. But now he's gotten older. He's probably in his mid-50s.
Easily.
Is my guess.
Yeah.
And he does what we all do. He slows down. His metabolism slows down. But because he is such a big presence, literally, I think it does help the physical intimidation factor.
Yeah, now on one, I agree with you on that. On one level, it makes sense that his life has turned to shit because he's just a big fat hulking fuck, and his wife left him. Maybe you know you could tell that he let himself go to seed. Mm-hmm. All right, but on the other hand, if I was confronted with such a fellow, I'd be able to outrun him, and I'd know it. So it's a little bit of back and forth. But okay,
well, certainly they make the point. He doesn't move ultra fast in this movie. That's not what it's about. He's not a life.
No, but he's powerful. He's yes, like boom, exactly. Something happens. It's very casual violence. Right. So
with that acknowledged now.
Okay, sorry.
Let's put it. And we've lost all the series.
We've lost everyone. We've lost everyone now.
We want to talk generically about it for 5 minutes or so.
Cool. Okay. All right.
What did you appreciate? Oh, okay. First of all, did you like the film?
I did like the film. Just I will
yeah,
say
I'm
to
with
you,
you.
Yeah, yep. I would say to you that it's not a specifically pleasant watch. Nor well, is it trying
but
to
I
be.
Think it, I think it's entertaining, though.
Yes.
It keeps your attention.
That's what
it helps
say.
That it's short. It doesn't mess around.
Yes.
But I have really significant, and you're gonna rag on me for my major criticism of this movie, talk about until we get to the spoiler section,
yeah.
Because it does have to do with the denouement of the film.
Okay.
Or the denouement.
Is denouement.
That one.
I think. Yeah.
we'll go with Wayne's interpretation of French, because I know Dan from Netflix and so is laughing his ass off right now. The final part of the film really does, I think, undermine what this film could have been trying to say.
Okay, all right. But then, look, let me ask you this then, all right? So you say it's short,
yep. All
right? I appreciate that. I think it actually is slickly paced, I would say.
Yeah.
All right? I would say it's provocatively violent when
yep.
it needs to be in very
it
small
bursts.
It leans
into its genre trappings by having some really intense moments of violence, although there was a couple of moments that seem more violent than they are. I think they're well-filmed to kind of hide the
yeah,
worst of it.
It's not a poorly made movie at all.
No. It's very accomplished. I think it's very, I think the word you used is right. It's slick. The car chase scenes are well shot.
Yep.
I think the tension builds nicely in the first, when they're on the road early on in the film, the first sort of 20, 30 minutes, the tension builds there very
yes.
well.
Yes. And that's what I mean by I don't like these kinds of films. I don't like that. I don't enjoy that tension. I don't intend.
Well, don't you?
I don't. I know most people do, but yeah. I'm like, ooh, I don't like this because it's like it's a girl and it's a kid. I don't like it. You know what I mean? But that's just me. That doesn't mean it's not a well-made movie. I would say it's relatively by the numbers.
Oh yeah, it's derivative as all fuck.
Right. So I'm thinking to myself, so Russ, what's going on here? Because if Russell Crowe's not in this movie, this is VOD, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Just straight to video, all right?
And he's the best part of the movie.
Completely.
We've ragged on him for his weight, but in
no,
terms of...
No, he kills it.
He there's a lot that he does with his role, and he's not... I mean, he's probably the second lead in the sense of the amount of screen time that he has, Yeah. But when he does, that's where your eyes are going. When he's on the screen, what is he doing? How is he managing this?
Mesmerizing. Yeah. Like, in terms of he's definitely a great actor.
Yes, he is.
And that's why he deserves all 5 of his million or whatever he got.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we would have seen this otherwise.
Because I think there's also something about casting Russell Crowe as this guy.
Yes. Right? Of course it is. He's star power, man.
Well, not the star power, but he's also quite a toxic individual, right?
Okay, now this
is
interesting.
He has a bad reputation. He's a bad boy.
Yeah,
and I think that toxic masculinity really plays off in this role.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, but yes, you are right. If someone else,
John Hamm.
No way.
John Hamm's a good actor.
John Hamm's the man, but he's so good looking, I don't believe anyone would leave him. And also, like, he's not going to get mad and kill his wife. She's trying to get back up on that.
That is a spoiler, but it's a spoiler that happens in the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Watch yourself there.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think he is the best part of it. And when he's on the screen, he is where your eye goes. As I said, he's quite captivating. And not that he gets a lot of depth. I mean, I think you've just given all the depth that he gets.
Yep.
But he manages still to... Not that you side with him at all. You're not meant to. He is the true antagonist. Nothing about what he does are you behind. The film's not trying to make that layered approach at all. It is trying to have a social commentary about men on women violence and the like. And that's where I think it really falls down, ultimately.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why in the spoiler.
Okay. No, good. Okay, fine. Okay. It's not especially fresh. Solid genre filmmaking, though, I think you'll agree.
It's fine.
The car chases, again, very competently well-filmed, but yeah, he's...
very grey tone. I thought you would like this movie.
That's the thing, I will tell you that. It's a little drab. Very dark. And it's got a very B-movie vibe about it. It doesn't look like a Hollywood production, and nor is it trying to be, I don't think.
Well, no, I don't think it's come straight out of a major studio, but for 33 mil, obviously it's got some money behind it. I think the other two leads, the mum, Rachel, and the kid, they're serviceable.
Great.
They're the only ones to get any kind of arc or any, because everyone else is just man fodder in the sense of he's called the man.
Like, yes.
Everyone else in this film gets no development whatsoever.
Well, not only that, the film doesn't try and generate any empathy for him at all. Very little. None, in fact.
For the bad guy. No, absolutely not. As I said, it's very simple. All we get is what you've mentioned.
That is it. Exactly. Is so, and also, I should say
and neither should it, because his behavior is abhorrent.
No, but not to try and make you empathize with him so much, but perhaps to give you something to hang on to as, like, all we know is... He feels powerless, and we know that he's divorced or whatever. His wife has left him, or presumably, right? So that's all we really know.
He's unhinged. It broke him.
Yeah,
and now he's capable of anything, as we see through the course of the film.
Because he just don't give a fuck anymore. Yep. Yeah. One quick mention.
Please.
Her lawyer friend.
Yeah. Jimmy Simpson.
I knew him once as Lyle the intern on the Dave Letterman show. That's what he did. He's actually married to that chick on 2 and a Half Men who's trying to bang Charlie Sheen all the time.
Don't know.
Okay.
Either of those two shows.
Anyway.
I do know him from Westworld.
Yeah, he's
a prominent role in
Westworld. He's got a proper role. But it's good to see him. I think he did quite a good job. So
he had one scene, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So yeah, okay. I mean, look, I will tell you this. The lack of complexity, I did have this moment with Russell Crowe's character, seems like a little bit of a waste of his talents, but he does so well with what he does, then sure, I get it.
Yep.
You know?
I agree. I think that's a shortcoming of the film. Had we added a little bit more to it, maybe an extra 5 minutes of the film, that wouldn't have harmed it at all.
Yeah, because it's so short and nice.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right, so look, it's a qualified recommend for me. I'm not saying I would say rush out and see it, but given what else is out there to see at the moment, which is everything that was in cinemas in March and some classic films, if you want something new, yeah, why not?
I would say this, if it's at all risky to you, if you feel risky going out
no,
to the cinema,
don't bother, wait.
Don't go for this
just wait.
One. Just wait.
If your part of the world still is infused with COVID, then no, you don't need to see this. It's certainly not worth risking it for.
Nope.
All right, that's our non-spoiler review. Let's get into it'll be short because it's probably not too much more to say about it, but spoiler section on the other side of this.
Spoilers, big fat spoilers, up your fucking ass, word. Anyway, it was just an alternate spoiler warning for you. No, it was just bullshit. It's just bullshit. That's what
I can. I can. We can roll with that one.
We don't have to. I thought I'd give you an option. Let's see how it sounds in the replay.
Wayne's been very creative there. It would be wrong to not at least give that one the credit it's due for this episode alone. All right. So basically, he runs on a rampage.
Tell me.
He kills everybody who's not in her immediate family.
Yes.
There's a miracle survival of the brother, which is fucking bullshit. If we ended this film, literally, here's my take. If we ended this film 5 minutes before where it ended, I would have been like 3.5 stars.
Why?
Really enjoyed it.
Because you don't want the brother to survive?
One, the brother surviving is bullshit and terrible and they cop out.
Light of fluid and they put him out. It's fine. He wouldn't have been happy, but he would have survived.
Probably. Yeah, that was such a unnecessary kind of upward vibe. Then here's my problem. So this film is trying to have a bit of commentary about, you know, domestic violence and men exhibiting their power of women. A woman, right? And this is my problem when I thought about the message of the film.
Yeah.
She's late. She's established as someone who's not very good with time management, right? Yep. She's behind. She makes a couple of choices, a bit of sliding doors moments. All right, that part's fine. She comes up behind a guy. The light turns green, or comes up behind a big car. The light turns green. The person doesn't move. She hits a horn, hits a horn again, hits a horn a third time, swings around him, and goes on her way. Next thing you know, he pulls up next to her, and then the exchange that you said takes place. Because he's like, you should have just given me a tap.
Yeah, courtesy tap.
Courtesy tap. Yep. This is how it goes, mate, like this. Mm-hmm. She then refuses to apologize because he was a dickhead. She didn't need to apologize, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the film always seems to be making the case. She kind of brought this on herself.
Okay, now.
And I have real problems with that.
I knew that this would be a thing. I knew that this would be a thing. All right, so here it is.
And I knew you'd have a problem with me having a problem with that.
No, it's not that. And I understand why everyone thinks now, okay? But like, Russell Crowe, the only nuance the character has, right, is that we know he's a murderous cunty cunt, right? But, right, it started with him, yes, over-addressing the situation. Yes, you could argue by addressing her and saying, you know, he's actually being imposing in that manner, right? But what he says, then the way he handles it, he's like, yeah, I do admit to being a little zoned out, but I am sorry that I you know, messed with your day, and if you could just apologize back to me, we can reset on this whole thing, right? She's like, no, I don't fucking right? And now you could say to yourself as an audience, well, just be nice about it, right? She could say, you know what? I could have honked less. Fine. Sorry.
Right? Like, sorry, it wasn't. Maybe I went overboard. Sure, she could have. But that's what I'm saying. The message gets a little bit like weird.
So would you think...
So any woman who stands up to a man now deserves this?
But now, I don't know that she is harmed because she stood up to a man. She's harmed as her fail... her lack of civility.
The only thing you've done wrong is not apologize profusely and appropriately enough.
Oh no, it's not making the case that, hey, she should have fucking apologized. It's making the case this cunt is a complete freak.
He's crazy.
And he got set off by the littlest thing.
Yes. So now fast forward the end of the film. She kills him. Hooray. Of course, derivative, you knew that was going to happen. Yep. She saves her child. Yep. She doesn't save 6 or 7 other people, but anyway.
Yeah.
The final scene of this film is she's driving along. Some cunt runs the red light and almost kills her and her son, and she doesn't hit the horn. And I'm like, so this film is now saying, women, get back in your place.
Oh, actually, you know what? You know what?
It's a bad way to go out this film.
It's an interesting point. All right, so here, for everyone, just for your information, Paul will fuck you up on the road, all right? Paul is a road raging motherfucker, and he will cut you to pieces, right? If he had a 9, you'd be dead, and he'd be in jail. So, here's
why is he exaggerating a little bit? I'm more prone to road rage than he is. That's
totally
true.
Totally, right? Now, and now having said that...
And road rage is, like, not... Let's be clear here. Not Russell Crowe. It's just swearing and going off.
And the honk and that sort of thing, right?
And I'll honk someone, no worries.
Yeah, okay. So...
I would be dead. If I was in her position, I would totally fucking honk the horn and he would have chased me and I would totally be dead. Because I would probably been killed on the spot because I would turn around and say, get fucked, asshole. You didn't even fucking go when the light was green. You deserved to honk. And he probably would have just got out of his car and snapped me in twain.
So everyone sees what I mean? Excellent. All right, so now, I only just now that you said this, thought this. Because if the movie is saying to the woman, like saying to you, huh, the woman now learned not to honk.
Yes. Right?
Now, I don't know if the movie's trying to say to you, the woman learned not to honk. It's trying to say, why get angry in the first place? It can fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's trying to go, but I understand that it sort of does go because it is the girl doing it, and it is the girl not getting... Mm-hmm. And the boy saying, good choice.
Good choice.
Right? The male child says, good choice.
I think it's a terrible...
Don't fly off the handle, bitch.
A terrible note. It could have been handled so much better. It could have been she gets a phone call saying, like, this is how it should have gone. She gets a phone call from the hospital saying, your brother really wants to see you. And I don't know, visiting hours closes in 30 minutes. Can you get here? And she looks at her watch and goes, yes, I can. That would have been the message. She's organized. She's on time because that's Not that she's punished
then
because
she
of
would
this.
Be rushing for the hospital and subsequently. Okay.
That's all a better message than what this one leaves you with.
I didn't even think about that, man. I did not even think
and
about
that's
that.
That's why it dropped down to me for me at that point. I'm like, oh no. No.
Do you think that's just mishandled or someone's trying to get their fucking
No, it's mishandled. I think you're right there. Yeah. I don't believe for a second the film's message is women get back in your place. Yeah. But I think it's badly put together and it suffers of my score as a result.
Interesting. Interesting. Good pickup. That's not bad at all. I actually quite like that note. That's quite good.
As in, you mean you don't like the note, but you like what I've said.
No, I like... No, sorry, yes. I like, the note would be... No, that would be the film.
Yeah,
the note is the note. Yeah, so, yeah.
That's all. That's my spoiler section.
Okay, good one.
I think the you mentioned the scene with Jimmy Simpson in... That is a good scene in the diner.
Yeah.
And one other thing I want to say about the film is several times I went, well, just do this then. And they almost always did. She always did always call the cops or try and do this or try and do that. So it wasn't dumb. Like, she wasn't portrayed as that idiotic character who makes stupid decisions to keep the film rolling. It never wrote itself into that corner, which I quite liked. I didn't really like the script 101-ness of, oh, here's my candy cane scissors, and which come and a Fortnite move, and now we're doing the Fortnite move to...
That was a bit shit.
That was a bit really shit. On the nose.
I know, and I agree, and I'll tell you the other thing as well. When Russell Crowe confronts the brother in the house and holds the girl hostage...
Oh my God, people are fucking dumb.
And then impales her on a knife he's holding. You can't do that. If someone's holding a knife and you lurch someone on, if they'll pull the knife back, or they will not. Oh, what's going on here? I just stabbed my girl. No. So that was a bit stupid. And also, Russell Crowe, this is my problem. He's not fast enough to sneak up on a girl. He's not fast or light enough to sneak up on her and smack her and then not let her scream. Like, it just doesn't work out that way. So, a little bit of that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that as well. Anytime there's that hostage situation where clearly this person is going to kill you both.
Yes.
Well, better off one of you dies than not both of you.
That moment there where he's got a knife, Russell Crowe's got her. I'm like, he hasn't even got a weapon. I could just try and stab him in the neck.
That trope is so overplayed in films. Like, that's a problem. I can't do this. No. You're both going to die.
That's right. Also, I hated that dude.
Yeah, he was.
He's a fucking dickhead. Like, I don't like her brother. He's kind of a cock.
No, I'm saying no one else had any character development. I mean, his fiance had like three lines in the whole film.
She I liked because she was less like, she was like, oh, sorry, Karen. You know, she was whatever she her said. Name is. Yeah, but at least she wasn't like a cunty ex-girlfriend living with you kind of shit. Like, it wasn't that.
No,
she was like a nice character.
No, well,
hence it means more.
What little we saw of her.
Exactly, yes. So, anyway.
All right, let's give a final score then, Wayne. And I think we've already given all our thoughts about it. No need for any final thoughts. But cool. What do you give this one?
It's a 57.
Oh, 58.
58!
There you are.
I was toying around 60, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was toying around high 60s until that note on the film went out and I went, wow, down to this. Because up till then, I was in. Like, oh, and maybe this is probably something we should have mentioned. Here's my final thought. Mm. This film benefits from being the first notable film released back because we're all like, yay!
Absolutely!
Cinema!
Totally!
Theaters! Hooray! And the popcorn, and I had a beer because we went to Gold Class, and I opened it, and I didn't tell you this, but it fucking foamed all over me. And even then, I'm like, who cares? And the screen we saw it on had these fucking pixelations in the corner, and big blue lights. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Who cares? I'm at the movies. Hooray!
Exactly.
It was a lovely experience. Totally. Not to rub it into anyone who's got this far, who hasn't seen the film, and hopefully you haven't, because we just bought the whole fucking thing. But yeah, it was nice to be back there, and I think this film will do better because of that. Otherwise, what you said really resonates. Minus Crow, this is a straight-to-video thriller.
Dude, let me tell you something. If it was known, let's say they have a vaccine or something, and it was known, okay, the vaccine will be released on this date, it will be effective by this date, and everything can open on that date. That date would be the most fucking like sought-after date for opens in movies, in screens, in fucking music, everything, right? That went through. This is the problem. It's staggered around the world.
Yeah, it is. You know? Well, it is a problem for the studios, but in terms of it will get here when it gets here. But like, just when you were back in the cinema, what I'm trying to say is I really enjoyed going back to the movies. That's it.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, that's our review of Unhinged. What did you think? If you haven't seen it yet, when you do get to see it, let us know. Like it or not. And you can do so via email thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter @thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on podbean.com where we host, and check out the Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes for interactions with ourselves and some other wonderful, awesome listeners.
Word.
And that's it for today. Not much need for the soundboard. We're very much on the same page, I think.
I think we're fine.
That's nice. But let's just wrap it up anyway with a little bit of this. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And that was the soundboard. That really confused everyone, including us. We'll catch you next time.
See ya. So you just noticed that picture of Russell Crowe that happened to be on the thing there.
On the YouTube page.
He seemed like a very large man.
Yeah.
Okay, I did some research on this. I think he's got spin people going on with this.
What do you mean?
I actually Googled, is Russell Crowe really that fat? Bitch, please.
Because, right?
I know. What?
we didn't know if he was...
Did you get many hits?
It got three or four hits, right? There was a New Zealand newspaper or something that said that...
A newspaper.
Oh, sorry, like a fucking
A website.
A website, right, of a newspaper, like the New Zealand Herald or some shit, right? And so, and it said,
sure, it wasn't New Zealand People magazine.
People, yeah, no, it was, and they just said that, like, ooh, Russell Crowe is unrecognizable in this new set on his show, new show, The Unhinged, or whatever, right? And they say, yeah, so Rossi's like, and they mentioned fat suit, right? They mentioned, oh, he's got a fat suit. Don't worry, he hasn't let himself go. That's actively there.
Okay.
Right? And then...
So we've just fat-shamed
him
for no
reason. Nope. Listen, I did other research, and fuck off, it's not a fat suit, okay? There's a shot of him in... So not to harp on this, but there's a shot of... There's a shot of him in an airport with his assistant, right? And he's just in, like, a polo shirt, and it's that big. His gut flares out. I think they honestly had to shoot this movie widescreen, not for the reasons you think. I should mention... If you are a certain man of a certain age of a certain paunch, yes, and still you get millions of dollars a movie, more power to you, my friend. More power to you.
I'll learn something from Russell Crowe.
Exactly. I mean, I might hit the treadmill and skip breakfast just so you can continue to enjoy that money, but whatever. You do you.